Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You know, the Capitals have felt kind of stale since they won the Stanley Cup back in 2018. And we know that with essentially the losses in the first round the last couple of years, JJ. But defensively in free agency, now that the dust has settled, we saw them lose some guys, clearly, in Travis Boyd, Radko Gudas, you know, Braden Holtby, obviously. But they made some moves as well. And one of the big things that you mentioned was that they have to address things on the defensive side. And they did. And this team is going to look a little bit different moving forward now.
It's going to look very different. One thing that I've noticed about Brian McClellan is we all work out our little projections and we all say, all right, this is how much money they have. This is how many players they can get. And he always seems to get one or two more than you expect. Even when they sign a guy and you go, okay, now they have no money. And then all these signings keep trickling in. You're going, whoa, I didn't expect this at all. Like I remember distinctly, I was writing about free agent targets for the Capitals. I got to Justin Schultz. I typed in his name and I was like, they can't afford him. Just deleted it and moved on. And he turned out to be one of their big gets in free agency. So, you know, Brian McClellan, he's always aggressive when he sees something that he needs to change. So, and the Caps are better for it.
We're looking back on the new look Capitals coming up right now on the Capitals Talk Podcast.
Spectacular history making continues. 700.
It's not a desert mirage. It's Lord Stanley, and he is coming to Washington.
You know, Brendan Dillon obviously signing that 4-year, $15 million deal was important, and that was one of the first moves that they made, and I think we both praised that. But, you know, as we go on, obviously, you just mentioned that defensively they added some names. But the biggest name that the Capitals added in free agency, now that we can kind of catch our breath, it's slowed down a little bit, even though you described it as the worst-kept secret in hockey, I mean, it was true, Henrik Lundqvist, a $1.5 million deal, the perfect match for him to come into Washington. This was something, it's funny, I remember when we first heard that he was going to get bought out by the Rangers, and it was almost one of those jokes where it's like, well, he'd fit perfectly in Washington, but you didn't expect it to gain as much steam as it did so quickly. And as soon as free agency opened, I mean, we knew this was coming, and that's exactly what happened. He's now a Capital. It's going to be weird at first, but it's something that was the perfect match for both sides.
It was the perfect match. It's exactly what the Capitals wanted in a backup, someone who can mentor Samsonov and still play at a high level for a high number of games for what we expect to be probably a pretty compressed season. So you're going to have to lean on the backup a little bit. I'm going to write some of them on this probably next week, but I think Henrik Lundqvist may have saved the Capitals offseason. And it was something I wonder, I'm going to have to ask Brian McClellan about this. I wonder if he foresaw this and he was like, as soon as they buy him out, we have to be on this. Because it was sort of an afterthought for a while, and then we found out, oh, he's going to be bought out. And then, as you said, boy, wouldn't that be perfect. But anyway, let's look at the goalies who were available. There were a lot of backup goalies available. But look, Corey Crawford, $3.9 million cap hit. Thomas Greiss, $3.6 million cap hit. Braden Holtby, $4.3 million cap hit. Anton Khudobin, $3.3 million cap hit. Cam Talbot, $3.7 million cap hit. The Capitals cannot improve their defense if they have to get one of those players. It takes away all of their cap room. So the fact that they were able to address that need and for just a $1.5 million cap hit, total home run by Brian McClellan. Either they had that plan out and from the moment he got bought out, they were pounced on him and said, you need to come here, or he's totally just stumbled into their lap and completely changed the offseason trajectory.
It's one thing, good general managers find ways to fit talent in with the restrictions that they have, but sometimes you do just have to get lucky. You have a situation where you have a 38-year-old goaltender that really wants to win a cup. That's like the last thing on his resume that he still needs to have. The Capitals are in win-now mode. it made perfect sense for both of them to get him for that cheap, to get that experience, especially, like, here's the thing, man. Like, if you're all in, you have that all in mindset, it's really hard to just have a young, inexperienced goalie. Like, we know how talented Ilya Samsonov is. Like, yeah, there's a lot of talent there, but he's got 26 games of experience. You're going to need someone that has more of that ice time, that I've been there before type mentality. That, and look, I know Lundqvist is just not going to come in and be like, let me coach you. And this is, it's all going to be about coaching. He wants to take Samsonov's spot, and that's fine. But to have him in that position where he still wants to do that, will play still a pretty big role for this team and be able to do it for such a cheap amount of money, given the circumstances and given what you just pointed out, the amount of money that this Capitals team would have had to spend to get somebody else to fill Braden Holtby's spot. It really is a miracle. Like, that's actually a great way to put it, where you said it saved their offseason, because without this, they would have had so much more money committed to just another goaltender that you would have had more holes that you would have had to fill defensively that they wouldn't have been able to do, that they were able to do because they saved a lot of money with Lundqvist coming in.
Yeah, and the one thing I should mention about Lundqvist, because I've seen people are excited, and that's great, and we think he can play well, and that's great. I've seen a few people think that, oh, he's going to start more than Samsonov this year. He's going to make a run for the number one job here in his 1 year. That would be a complete disaster. I'm excited about Lundqvist being here, and it's great that he'll be here, and I hope he can play well. If a 38-year-old goalie coming off the worst year statistically of his career takes over for the number one job in the 1 year that he is here over the guy who you think is going to be your franchise starting goalie, barring injury, of course, but if he is the guy that they lean on more, that's a complete disaster, because this is the guy who Samsonov is the guy who they think is going to be their starter going forward for many, many years. If he can't take the reins this year and run with it, I expect some growing pains. He's never been a number one. He's never gotten the bulk of the starts at any level of his career. But if Henrik Lundqvist outplays him to the degree that Henrik Lundqvist is getting more starts than Samsonov, that's a disaster. That said, I think it's great that they got him. I think it's great that he's going to push for playing time, but I also think he understands the role for which he was recruited. I don't think he's going to sit there. I don't see a Marc-Andre Fleury situation where all of a sudden, you know, Henrik Lundqvist's agent is tweeting out pictures of him being stabbed in the back and saying, this isn't what we signed up for. I think everybody knows what's going on here. So I was surprised by how many people thought that he was going to push Samsonov for the job, because that actually would not be a good thing. You want Samsonov to completely outplay him.
You're right, though, on the growing pains thing, and it's going to be expected. And look, I'm going to make this guarantee to you now. There are going to be moments where people panic, where Samsonov has a bad stretch. Maybe it's 2 to 3 games, whatever that ends up being. We don't even know what the schedule is going to be like and how compressed it is and what it's going to look like. So how he's played, what it looks like in terms of games that he starts, whatever the case is. There will be moments where Ilya Samsonov struggles and people are going to panic. Now, maybe not people within the Capitals organization, but fans will panic. And you will see Capitals Twitter go nuts worrying that either he's not developing fast enough or saying that Henrik Lundqvist needs more time out there on the ice, and you have to have a patient approach with him. You're right. But again, it goes back to we have a short window, a small window. However you want to describe this window. By the way, we're going to be using the expression window in various ways for like the entire year. So we're going to have to find different ways to describe it. But like, there are going to be those moments where you kind of put it in a vacuum and everybody, or at least the majority of people, are panicking over a certain stretch that Samsonov has. And it just kind of comes with the territory because of the expectations that are placed on him, because Braden Holtby is gone to make room for Samsonov to take over his spot. The expectations, whether they're fair or not, are that he needs to develop into what Braden Holtby was, if not better. That's what people want. Whether we see that right away is certainly going to be up in the air, but you're right. The minute we see Samsonov struggle even a tiny, or not even a tiny bit, but where it gets to the point where Lundqvist is getting too much time, that's when you start to worry a little bit, not when it's 2 or 3 games.
And you're going to see panic too, because when he hits that stretch, and you're right, it's going to come. But when he hits that stretch, you're going to see a lot of, hey, this is only a whatever it turns out to be. I have 60 game season, 65 game season. We don't have time for this. We have to put in the experienced guy. It's like, no, it's not. It's not like a 16 game. It's not the NFL. You can afford to lose 1 or 2 games. You can afford growing pains here. They've got to stick through it, because this is the guy of the future, not the 38-year-old who they signed to a 1-year deal.
It is going to be weird to see Lundqvist, though, in a cap sweater. Like, when you think about how he was their tormentor for years, he won three of the five playoff series against the Capitals in his career. Like, you're watching the enemy now come over here. It's a really – it's not Deion Sanders going to Washington, but it has that feel of, like, the guy that was your tormentor coming from another organization that was a rival, that you had these playoff series. It really didn't end well for the Capitals most of the time. Now he's part of your team, and now everybody's got to root for him. This is what makes sports so unique, so weird, and kind of like it really is an emotional roller coaster at times when you're a fan of any team because you have situations like this.
Yeah, for sure. It's always weird when that long-standing guy ends up playing for another team. I never got used to seeing Peyton Manning play for the Broncos. That always seemed weird to me. Luckily, hopefully that's not going to happen with Alex Ovechkin or Nicklas Backstrom, but you never know.
Yeah, and it's funny too because you do kind of have the – you have the revenge factor for Lundqvist too because he then goes to a team that was his old team's rival. So it's kind of like dating your ex's rival that you want revenge on to make her jealous and saying, well, I'm going to go date this person because you dumped me and this is somebody I know that was always somebody you didn't really like. So now – like there's all of that weird tie and that emotional tie in there too where I don't know, man, maybe it motivates him a little bit more where he's like, I want to show that the Rangers gave up on me. I don't want to say too soon because he was there forever, but there is that factor there too where a fresh start for him, it maybe motivates him where it is a little bit more competitive between him and Samsonov.
I'm sure there will be that sense, especially when they play the Rangers, of wanting to show them, hey, I wasn't quite done. I'm sure he understands the situation. And he mentioned that he had time to think it through and adjust to it mentally, knowing that his time was done. But I'm sure he's a professional athlete. That's what professional athletes do. They take these slights and they multiply it in their minds as these massive insults that they have to show up people for. But really, he's here to win the Stanley Cup. And I think Caps fans should be encouraged that he basically honed in on the Capitals as the team that was the right fit and the team that he thought could win him a Stanley Cup in his 1 year.
When you are a type A personality and successful and competitive and you feel like somebody wronged you, even if they really didn't, if you create that narrative in your head and put that chip on your shoulder, it's amazing sometimes the extra production you can get late in somebody's career. Like you mentioned Peyton Manning in Denver, like everybody thought he was done and he wasn't. It was at the very end, obviously he had a noodle arm, but like you have these moments where then sometimes that little extra emphasis just gets, it squeezes the last bit of juice out of it. So yeah, I'm certainly hoping we want Samsonov to be, you want him to be the clear number one for them, but you want Lundqvist to also be somebody that you can depend on because that was the whole reason he was brought here. Speaking of Henrik Lundqvist, here's what he had to say to the media when he talked to him on Friday after signing with the team.
Henrik Lundqvist on the line, ready for your questions. We can begin with JJ Reagan with NBC Sports Washington. JJ, please go ahead.
Hey, Henrik. Congratulations on the new deal. Thanks for doing this today. Almost immediately after you were bought out by the Rangers, you were linked to the Capitals. What was it about the Capitals that attracted you here and made them such a clear fit for you?
Well, I think for a few weeks now, been doing my homework on all different scenarios and options for me. I have to say, Capitals, they check every box when it comes to a team that understands winning, great coaching staff, an opportunity to play some games. I think those were the main factors for me. But there's so many things that goes into this decision for me. But starting with, chance to win. I think at this point in my career, that's the most important thing. I want to have a chance to win. And I know a few guys on the team. I played against a lot of the guys for so many years. I have the most respect for them. And I'm just very excited and grateful, actually, to join them. I'm been skating for a few weeks now, and I'm just really excited to take on this new challenge.
Thank you. And we'll take all the questions in English first, and then we'll go to Swedish questions at the end there. We'll go to Chris Kerwin with NBC's 4.
Eric, welcome to D.C. or virtually or whatever. Was there any bitterness that the Rangers maybe didn't think you still had it in you to do this? I mean, I'm sure you're glad to come to Washington, but that that New York maybe thought, we're going to move on? Was there any bitterness there?
You know what? In the springtime, it was a pretty tough time for me. I kind of saw where this was going a little bit, so I had time to reflect and think about a lot of different things. And I reached a level of so much gratitude towards the Rangers. And honestly, I feel like gratitude is the best feeling you can ever have. And I appreciate everything they've done for me over the 15 years I've been there. And you know, they were ready to make a few moves and take the next step in their rebuild and moving on. And I had my time to deal with that mentally, because this was a big thing. I'm not going to lie. It was a really big thing for me to say goodbye, because it was such a long relationship. So when this happened last week, I was in a really good place, because I had time to work on that. And it also made it easier for me to really take in all the love and support I felt during last week. And I was kind of blown away with all the support I felt. And I also felt ready for the next step, because I realized how much I love the game, how much I love to compete. And then looking at the different options I've had and looking at Washington and how excited I got thinking about, you know, going to Washington. Obviously it's been a pretty emotional week, but it's exciting times ahead here. So that's where we're at.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll go to Sam Pell with the Washington Post.
Hi, Henrik. Congrats. I know you mentioned that you have some friends on the team. Have you gotten a chance to talk to, you know, Nick Backstrom or Carl Hagelin or even Ovechkin just now that you're officially here?
Yeah, I talked to all three. They all say it's a tight group, great group of guys. I heard that even before I signed. I heard a lot of good things about the group, but also talking to the guys and they've been through a lot together, and you grow as a group when you go through, all the things they've been through. So they have an older group, experienced group that really attracted me. So I look forward to see them, all the guys that I know already, but even more so get to know the rest of the team and just get going.
Thank you. We'll go to Scott Abraham with ABC 7. Scott, please go ahead.
Hey, Henrik. Scott Abraham, ABC 7. First of all, congratulations. Welcome to Washington. Alex Ovechkin in particular, he was a fierce rival, fierce competitor for so many years. You two had so many amazing battles in the playoffs. What is it like to finally be teammates with Ovi and practice with this guy and just be with this guy all season long now as a teammate?
You know, it's kind of crazy. Like you just said, it's been so many years of battles, and I have so much respect for him for what he's accomplished. He's one of the toughest players to stop. There's no way around it. You look at his record, it speaks for itself. And it's been so much fun, too, to go up against him for so many years. It was funny, too. I called him the other day and he's been so fun to play against because how good he is, but he's also a character on the ice. So I look forward to now be on the same team. And the one thing I told him, though, is I won't do any one-time drills with him because his shot is just way too hard. So I already put myself out of that one. But, they have so many skilled players. But obviously, Ovi, with all the years playing against him, I definitely look forward to be on the same side now.
We'll go to Olivia Garvey with ABC 7.
Hey, Henrik, welcome to Washington, like Scott said. Is there something about this franchise that you, over the years, that you've just respected most? What is one thing about Washington that you've looked at over the years and have just respected how they played the game or what they've done with their players?
I don't know. It's just a feeling when you come to Washington, and I think it starts from the top, from the owner and down, how they treat the players, the city, the fans playing in that building. There's always excitement there to come and play in Washington, and maybe part of it because we played, you know, against each other in the playoffs for many years. But the way they operate, you know, like I said, from top to bottom. And I also always love coming to Washington as a city. I think it's a beautiful city, and I think in this decision there were so many different things that added up to, you know, it made sense for me and my family to make this move. But early on, I talked about the importance of having a team that can win. That's where it all starts for me in this decision.
Thank you. We'll go to Tariq Al-Bashir with The Athletic.
Hi, Henrik. How important was role in the role you're going to have with the team in making your decision? And what do you understand your role is going to be here in Washington from speaking with Brian McClellan?
You know what? I'm just there. I'm going to work as hard as I can. And whatever my role will be, you know, that's up to the coaches. So I know, you know, I have an opportunity to play if I do really well, but I also understand, you know, Washington has a really young goalie and Samsonov, great goalie, played really well last year. So I'm embraced the whole thing, coming there and try to help and support him, but obviously also perform really well. So whatever the role will be, you know, I'm ready for it. But right now, you know, I can only control my preparation here, the training and the mindset going into next year. And then we'll just take it from there.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Tom Galletti with NHL.com.
Hey, Henrik. How long did it take you maybe it didn't take long at all for you to decide that you still wanted to keep playing after you knew the Rangers were going to kind of part play with you? We heard like maybe last weekend you were still thinking about it, or was it really quick you decided I'll still have something left here?
Well, I told you guys earlier that I worked myself on how I felt about the Rangers and everything in the spring, because I kind of knew where this was going, and that took some time. But when I finally was in a good place and felt so much gratitude towards the Rangers, and you know, I was ready to see beyond the next step, beyond not being a Ranger on the ice. So, you know, this thought process has been going on for a couple months, you know, just see yourself play elsewhere and understand what that means for me as a player. And as we got closer, I started to get more and more excited about the different options. And like I said, it became crystal clear to me what was the right thing for me, and that was Washington.
Next question to Neil McHale from Inside Hockey.
Hi, Henrik. First of all, congratulations. You know, after the playoff series with Carolina, I spoke to a few of your teammates there, and they offered so much praise to you. And, you know, a lot of them grew up with you around there. What can you say about that group that you were around, and how much does the experience in New York help you as, you know, you go into this period with the Capitals now?
Well, I mean, the group in New York is it's a very talented group, young group. Sometimes you forget how young it is, but they grew a lot throughout the year. And they have, you know, some great years ahead of them with some really good players growing up, but also with some great additions. So, you know, I want to wish them all the best, you know, some really good friends on that team. And they all treated me so nicely. And it was a pretty emotional moment for me after that last game in Toronto. But you know, they have a bright future for sure as an organization.
Jason Rogers with Jay Prestring.
Hey, Henrik, welcome to DC. Congratulations. I guess, have you talked to Peter Laviolette at all? And what are you looking forward to playing for him, and what are you excited about playing for him?
I have talked to him, and I told him I got excited just listening to him over the phone. I think that's one of his strengths, you know, how to motivate guys and get guys committed. It's such an important part of being a coach in the NHL, I think, how you make guys commit to the one goal. I just look forward to every time you get an opportunity to play under a new coach, you learn so much, because they all, you know, they all approach it a little differently. They have their own ways of doing things. So you can definitely learn a lot every time. And I had coaches being calm. I had coaches being more active and something in between. So now there's another opportunity to learn from Peter. And so far what I've heard, seen, and obviously in person talking to him, it's all good things. So I look forward to get to know his style even more.
Thank you. Alan Crada.
Hi, Henrik. Thank you so much for the time. I just want to say publicly, thank you for the kindness, the graciousness, all that you've been to us in New York for 15 years. We appreciate it as human beings. So I need to put that out there publicly. And just how is your swirl of emotions right now, now that it's official? What's it like? And have you for a fleeting few seconds thought about that game at the Garden that we're already talking about? Thank you.
Thanks, Alan. Well, like I said, it was a long way getting to last Wednesday for me mentally to work on that. It was a very emotional day for me and my wife, but it was a beautiful day. I could really feel the love and support coming in from all over the place. And it was, I really could, because I was in such a good place mentally, I could really absorb it all. And moving forward, you know, I haven't thought that far, you know, playing that one game back. It's now it's more, you know, preparing for chapter two. It's been a long chapter one in New York that I will never forget. I will always appreciate that time. It brings me so much joy thinking back of all the memories and players I played with and the opportunities they gave me. So forever grateful for that. And chapter two now, I'm really excited about that.
Thanks, Hank.
Thank you.
Just to remind everyone, please use the chat option below if you want to ask a question. We'll go to Colin Stevenson.
Hi, Hank. I'd like to echo a lot of what Alan just said about thanking you for all how great you treated us. My question would be, you know, you said you had a lot of time to process this, you know, as things became apparent in the latter half of the season. What was your mindset going into those two qualifying round games then, when you got a chance to play? I don't know how unexpected or expected it was for you to play, but what was your mindset going into those games? And then how difficult was that conversation that you had with John Davidson?
Coming back in the summer, I think my mindset was, if this is it, let's enjoy it. That was my mindset going back this summer. I really enjoyed going to the rink, seeing the guys compete, being part of the Rangers. And you know, I appreciate every day. I really did. And then playing those games, I just wanted to do as good as I could, obviously, and try to win. It was not enough, but I enjoyed it. And I kind of knew it was the end in New York. And then having the conversation with JD and told me they were ready to move on. And, you know, I had such a long time to prepare for that, you know, I was in peace with it and grateful. And back to my earlier conversations about that, when you feel gratitude towards something, it's just, it gives a lot back to you. So I was happy, you know, feeling that gratitude towards the Rangers, and again, made it easier for me to take this next step.
Thank you. We'll go back to Scott Abraham with ABC7.
Hey, Henrik, already with you signing in Washington, there's been comparisons. This could be Ray Bourque 2.0. Obviously, Ray spent a lot of time with one team and won a cup in Colorado. Have you allowed yourself to maybe think about that, having a Ray Bourque-type moment? Because ideally, this is the situation. If you want ultimately win a cup, it'd be here in Washington. It'd be similar to what Ray Bourque did with Boston and Colorado.
Yeah, I think when you start a journey, you have to picture it happening first, right? So that's what I'm doing right now. I want to see myself lift that cup, and I want to do it in Washington. So I definitely see myself do it. I think that will be my motivation now going into training every day and prepare for camp. And whenever camp starts, that will be on my mind. Obviously, that's the ultimate story. I remember watching that back in Sweden when it happened, and it was such a cool moment. But obviously you don't want to put more pressure on yourself than you have to. Just use it as motivation and inspiration, and then you just go from there.
Okay, our last question in English comes from Winston with ABC7.
Hey, Henrik. Thanks for joining us, first of all, and welcome to Washington, sort
of. Thank you.
I know it's really, really hard to think about fans right now, but what are you expecting your welcome to be in Washington, especially, you know, a lot of Caps fans remember you as kind of like one of the guys that was in their way previous years in the playoffs. But what do you think your welcome in Washington will be like?
You know, I don't know. I'm going to come in and work as hard as I can and do whatever I can to help this team. And hopefully they can see how much I'm going to put in to try to do that, how much work. And I think Washington, just like New York, you got to earn it by hard work and good attitude and being a good teammate. So that's going to be my mindset. And then we'll just see when the fans are back and how they react. Who knows?
Henrik Lundqvist, probably the biggest name, or not even probably, JJ, he was the biggest name that this team signed, but we certainly know his role versus somebody like Justin Schultz, who you said at the beginning of this podcast, you didn't think there was any way they could afford him. You get a guy coming from another rival, by the way, in Pittsburgh, you get him for $4 million, which, yeah, some people said it might have been overpaid a little bit, but he provides so much value to this team. We went into this offseason saying, defensively, they have to be better. They need more defensemen, especially when you have a new head coach. He's got a style of play that's very, you know exactly what it is. Justin Schultz is the perfect fit for this. And we did think that, like, Nick Jensen was going to be the Capitals' second pair right defenseman for a while. But having defensemen join in the attack, that's kind of standard for Pierre Laviolette. This is what Schultz can do. He's coached teams. This all just makes sense. And you talk about things sort of fitting in the right way in this offseason, where you're able to afford that, you know, that veteran goaltender. And then you're able to get somebody like Justin Schultz for the right price that fits a role for them. This was a little bit of a surprise to me, but it was obviously a really pleasant surprise because you say, all right, they're getting a lot more depth where they needed it.
I was surprised by it. Especially $4 million, a cap hit of $4 million per year. Look, you're going to overpay in free agency. It's just the nature of doing business in free agency. I was a little bit surprised because it came a day after Brendan Dillon signed with a cap hit of $3.9 million, and Brendan Dillon's expected to have a top pair role next year. So you ended up signing a top four player. I mean, he's not going to replace John Carlson on your top pair, but they got him because he's an offensive defenseman, and really Pierre Laviolette likes his defense joining in the rush. So he looks like he can be a good fit on this team. And you got to credit Brian McClellan. Look, I know people soured on McClellan after the Barry Trotz situation. Told that was a mistake by the team. But whenever he sees a problem with this team, he recognizes it and he addresses it aggressively. Going back to the George McPhee days, there were so many years where it was like, hey, you need a second line center. And it'd be like, well, you know, we'll get some guys to develop. And they just never really addressed it. And they signed guys like Mike Ribeiro for a year and Brendan Morrison, and no one to really address that problem. And then top four defensemen was a problem for years, and they just sort of addressed it, and they never really solved that problem. Brian McClellan comes in, and he goes bank for Brooks Orpik and Matt Niskanen. And right away you knew, okay, things are going to be different. And that is what this offseason has been. We sat there and they said, okay, can they afford to get rid of Todd Reirden? Nick Jensen looked okay on the second pair towards the end of the playoffs. Maybe they're okay there. But what did McClellan do? He went out and he got Peter Laviolette. He dressed the coach right away. And then he went up and picked not only Justin Schultz, but also Trevor Van Riemsdyk. Right defense was a major hole the entire year last year. And instead of just saying, well, Nick Jensen looked good for five games in the postseason, so I guess problem solved there. Let's just ignore the other, what, like 100 games before that. He went out and he addressed it aggressively. So you got to give credit. Look, the bottom line, maybe they overspent for a Justin Schultz. The bottom line is that this roster, as it is composed today, and this team overall is better today than it was Thursday before free agency. I don't think there can be any argument about that. You want Schultz to be healthy. There are some injury concerns there. And so maybe that $4 million will come back to bite them. But they saw a hole. They addressed it aggressively. And the team is better overall because of it.
Yeah, that was definitely one of my concerns. I mean, you do see the last couple of years he has dealt with injuries. But what, 2016, 2017 had a career-high 51 points. So we know that he can be productive. But he does have to stay healthy. And it's always a risk when you sign a guy that does have at least a little bit of injury history, because there's a potential that it could happen again. But then there's also potential that he could be healthy and then he's productive. And it, like, he fit the needs that they had. And it's always nice when you steal him from a rival, right? It's like going into the fridge at work and stealing someone's lunch that pissed you off. Like, you go in and say, we're going to take him away from you because this year, right? Like, I'm all for that. I know that wasn't the main thing that the Capitals were thinking when they were thinking of signing Justin Schultz, but it's kind of nice when you take him away from Pittsburgh too.
Well, now we know who's been stealing lunches at work.
Me. I told you to stop pissing me off, JJ, so I stole all your stuff.
Okay, fair enough. Schultz was good. Trevor Van Riemsdyk, I think it was a sneaky pick. I loved him when he went to Carolina. He never got the role I expected him to get there. It's a one-year cheap deal, and it gives them depth there. If something happens to Justin Schultz, if he does go down, you know, hey, maybe you don't want Trevor Van Riemsdyk playing 50 games as a top four defenseman, but I mean, that's better. That depth is better than what they have now. Plus, we're not even talking about a guy like Jonas Siegenthaler, who can play either side, although he is primarily a left defenseman. Plus, we're not talking about Martin Fehervaari, who can also play the right side, although it looks like now he's going to stick in Hershey with all the moves that they've made. So you've added a lot of depth here. You have. And it's something that we talked about out of the playoffs, how, okay, as soon as Nick Backstrom went down, all of a sudden you have no depth. There goes your depth. You have no options there. At least defensively, forwards, they still have no depth. And that's something we'll get to. They have no extra forwards. But at least defensively, if one guy goes down, you have a lot of options there all of a sudden. If Justin Schultz goes down, you have Trevor Van Riemsdyk. You have Jonas Siegenthaler. You have Martin Fehervaari. So you have some options there. It's not just going to be one man and the whole house of cards comes apart.
Yeah, I mean, it's clear the Caps wanted more offense from their blue line. They've shown that in terms of the moves they made. But you're right, they add depth, and it is important to have that depth and have some. Like, what, they added four new defensemen. That's exactly what we said they needed to do, and that's where they went with this. It's not the only thing that they need to do, you just mentioned. But all right, so let's look at what they did overall right now in free agency in terms of where they stand. Are you happy with the moves that they've made? Could there have been more? Oh, free agency only right now. Because I feel good about what they've done. I like the depth they've added. The Justin Schultz move was definitely a surprise. As we both just said, you spend just slightly more than what you did on Brendan Dillon. But in the end, if you're going to get contributions from both of them, it really doesn't matter. So I feel good about the moves that McClellan has made so far.
So just in terms of free agency,
In terms of free agency.
Yeah, I like the moves. They have improved their roster, to be sure. There is still work to be done, but they went out. Goaltending was a need. They addressed that, and they did it for cheap. Right defenseman was a need that we didn't know if they had the money to address, and they addressed it by picking up two solid players there. So that is done. And those were the two biggest areas of need. So they went out and addressed it. Offense, they haven't really done anything. And I don't know what's going on there. There are still players available. And really, I mean, you got to think with every passing day, the price tag on those players is going down because someone's going to get desperate here. And these players are going to get squeezed by this market. So you think you would think they can pick up someone there, but they are not done yet. Let's just put it as that.
I mean, the big question is, I mean, you look financially, it's how much more room they even have to bring in somebody they want to. And look, we knew coming into this, that was going to be the problem. And they surprised us with a couple of moves, but you know, at some point you do just run out of cap space and they're right up against it at this point.
Right. So here's the situation. If you put Michael Kempney on LTIR, which Brian McCullen said that they were going to do, and you add Daniel Sprong to the roster, the prospect forward who they traded Christian Hughes for, they have $1.5 million left of cap space. That does not include Jonas Siegenthaler, who they have to re-sign. He's going to take $1 to $1.1, $1.2 million. And you only have 12 forwards. So what that means is that you have to make a trade. This team has to make a trade because that will give them 7 defensemen and 12 forwards. Now, everyone pushes back, not everyone, but a lot of people push back in this and say, 12 is the minimum. You only need 12 forwards. That is the total hockey video game mentality culture from people who play too much NHL 21 and say, hey, like you can instantly bring these players in. No.
But you're saying that that's not real?
Right. And there's always this, Hershey's just a few hours drive away. Yes, the Capitals don't play all of their games in Washington. Hershey doesn't play all their games in Hershey. You don't want to be in Minnesota and one of your 12 forwards wake up that morning with all of a sudden and they're sick. Or you don't want that player to twist his ankle coming off the bus and all of a sudden, hey, I guess we're just down a man today. You don't want Hershey to be playing in Toronto and then you realize that you need one of those forwards. You need to have 13 forwards. Their plan cannot be, let's just go into the season with 12 forwards and see what happens. Because if you do that for an extended period of time, it's going to come back to bite you. It will come back to bite you. Guaranteed it comes back to bite you. There is no question. So looking at the Caps, they have 4 right defensemen and they have 12 forwards. It's pretty clear the area that they have set up where they have an extra player who they can trade away. One other thing to keep in mind, Paul Ledoux, they signed this guy. I dismissed it as a Hershey signing. And then they're tweeting out that he's going to wear this number for the Capitals and he's having a media scrum on Zoom. That's not something that they do for players who are destined for Hershey. I think they have Paul Ledoux penciled in as their number 7. So right now they have 7 defensemen on the roster, 8 if you include Paul Ledoux. Look, they're setting this up to trade away a right defenseman. And let's be honest, that defenseman is probably Nick Jensen. If you trade away Nick Jensen, you have the money to sign a depth forward to give you 13 and to re-sign Jonas Siegenthaler. I think that's the move. The only problem with that is that this market has made it really hard to move players. With all the players who are still available, who you can get for essentially a minimum contract at this point because nobody is signing them, who's going to come out there and give you anything for a right defenseman who struggled the last few years and is at $2.5 million? I think there's still value there. Right defensemen are still valuable, and that cap hit isn't huge. But, yeah, it's going to take – the Caps are going to have to include an asset in that trade to get someone to take him. I think Brian McClellan's probably going to wait this out and see who needs a defenseman, who panics later in the offseason. But I think it's pretty clear that they've set up. They have all of these right defensemen. They need a depth forward, and they don't have the money. The obvious solution is to trade away one of those right defensemen. So I think that is the move going forward, because otherwise they don't have enough money to get to sign Jonas Siegenthaler and bring in the 13th forward.
Yeah, you always have this in free agency, and it's actually this way with most sports now. I feel like it's evolved into that, where you have big splashes at the beginning, and then there's always a couple of guys that are on the market who, for some reason, they either don't want to sign for what's been offered, they want to hold out for more, and they end up actually being in a position where their value goes down, there's less money to go around for them, and then you end up seeing those sneaky trades where teams make room. Like, you're going to see stuff trickle in as this offseason goes on, whether it's the Capitals or another team, and you certainly hope it's the Capitals, because I think what you laid out makes sense, and it's what they have to do given the lack of funds that they're still going to have for anybody left in free agency. You're going to have to find other ways. Like, really good general managers find ways to work around the obstacles that they have, whether it's, you know, too much depth in one position versus another, or just not enough money, or in this case, really both. and you find ways to look around the league and find somebody that fits a need you have. And there's plenty of teams around the league where you can make that work. So I would expect what you laid out, JJ, to happen, but it's probably going to take a little bit of time, unless they trade Kuznetsov, which I know you're a really big fan of. So they can really do that.
Yeah, let's trade Kuznetsov. Unbelievable. Yeah, that's not going to happen.
You know, you always get that in these off seasons, right? Especially when you have a new coach. Years ago, I mean, it wasn't that long ago we had the they should trade Ovi talk. Like, that was really loud. The year before they won the Stanley Cup, people were saying that they should cut their losses and they should try to move on and start rebuilding. And it really is crazy to think how if you wait sometimes just a little bit longer, how everything can come together.
After losing to the Penguins for the second consecutive year, there was a feeling that they had reached the breaking point and it was time to move on. Luckily, they didn't. And they stood pat, and I think they would be wise to stand pat with Evgeny Kuznetsov as well. But you're right. Things are still going to trickle in. The Winnipeg Jets fully intend to trade away Patrick Laine. That could be I hear Philadelphia is one of the suitors. That could be a potentially division-altering move right there if they add a guy like Patrick Laine. So they're not done yet. I know the way it feels in a normal free agency is after the first, you know, 3 or 4 days where all the flurry comes in, you're pretty much done and you can just pack it in and wait for the next season to start. Clear, as I laid out, the Caps clearly are not done. They have to make a move here. They still have to re-sign Jonas Siegenthaler and they have to make a trade. And there are a lot of players out there who need to be signed. There are a lot of things that still need to be done. So we're not done yet. It's just that we're done with the busiest part of the time where players are signing left and right. So, you know, I would be stunned if the season started with the roster as it is set up now.
Yeah, I would think there's certainly still more moves to be made. But if you look around the NHL, there's certainly you don't feel like there's a lot of teams that have made big overhauls that would be, you know, that are at the tops of their, whether it's this division or like the Atlantic. Like, I look at the Bruins right now. The Bruins did not have a good start to free agency at all. You miss out on one of the top free agents, Taylor Hall. You lose out on, you know, a defenseman. Like, you are a team that won your division this past season. And I felt like it was a total bust for a team like the Boston Bruins. And there are other teams as well around the NHL and free agency that certainly did not do as well as the Capitals. So even to put it in perspective, you feel good about the moves that they made in a vacuum, but then you look at some of the other teams as well that had to make their own moves and they didn't.
Yeah, I think you walking away from this offseason, I think you have to put the Caps right back in there in cup contention, not only because of the free agent moves, but because of the effect of Peter Laviolette. And you're right about Boston. Not only, I mean, there's the news that Brad Marchand and Pasternak might miss the start of next season because of surgery.
It's even worse for them. It's like you lose two guys that are still on your roster to start off.
Right. So they lose Torey Krug. They don't gain any really significant free agents. Zdeno Chara is still out there. It would be so weird to see him finish his career anywhere other than Boston, but he's still unsigned. For a team that was getting older and that really, even though they finished higher than Tampa Bay, really they're not as good as Tampa Bay, and we all know it. They didn't improve at all. So that was a little bit surprising. The biggest surprise was Taylor Hall going to Buffalo. I don't think anyone expected that to happen. And so we, you know, the hockey world collectively said, oh, so I guess it wasn't about winning this year after all. It was about the money. But, you know, look, they're having a surprising offseason. Taylor Hall is going to play with the best center he's ever played with, Jack Eichel. And they added Eric Staal. So maybe that team can actually do something for a change, which would be a nice change of pace for Buffalo, who's been terrible forever. Detroit added some actual NHL players. So that's a change of pace for them. Colorado, if Joe Sakic, Greg Wyshynski said this on Twitter, if Joe Sakic calls you and you're a general manager, don't answer the phone, don't return his call, don't return his text. He is going to fleece you. He is going to fleece you. The trade for Brandon Saad, for a team that already I have pegged as the team to beat in the West, to add Saad and to make Chicago retain salary when you have all of the cap space in the world, that complete fleecing by Colorado there. And then one of the other big stories, Vegas, the lovable losers, the castaways, the guys who had that chip on their shoulder. Now they're the evil empire who go out and get every major free agent available. They got Alex Pietrangelo. Like, they just look completely different. For a team that is just this young, to shift so dramatically from the lovable losers to the team with all the money who signs all the free agents, it's kind of stark. It's fun to watch.
It really is. It's a story that doesn't get enough attention. How that, like, because you know this, like, organizations that are expansion organizations, these expansion teams, you expect them normally to take a long time to grow, to take a long time to actually be a contender. It was incredible enough what they were able to do their first year in existence. But now to continue that trend and to have been all in from the beginning when they were like playing with house money, see what I did, Vegas, haha, the first year, to now move on. Come on, it was a good joke. Don't give me that face. But it really is amazing what they've been able to do. And by the way, just to go back to Taylor Hall and it being about the money, if you can get the bag, I don't blame an athlete ever. If you're going to get paid, get paid. Because in a physical sport like hockey, just like football, I know the contracts aren't the same and the CBA is not the same, but in a very physical sport where, you know, one injury can take you out. I mean, hell, concussions. Look at how many concussions Sidney Crosby dealt with over the years. If you're somebody that has a ton of money on the table and you don't want to give that up and you want that to be your main focus and secure yourself financially and saying, I'm hoping that this organization or I'm counting on them to build on what this is and we'll create something in a couple of years, but I know that I can be financially secure now. I will never, ever blame a guy for doing that. Now, if you sign with an organization and it was all about the money, clearly by your contract versus, you know, where they were in the stage of rebuilding and they're losing, and then you're publicly complaining about the organization not winning, you go down that road. Not saying that he's going to, but we do see this with athletes. Then I got a problem with that because you made your choice. You make your bed, you sleep in it.
Yeah. The one thing to mention about Taylor Hall, because you're right, I don't begrudge any of these people getting their money, especially with the free agent market, what it is. Like, if you think you're an $8 million player and you sign as a free agent for $5 million, I get the market is weird and teams are signing for less right now, but you're probably not going to be an $8 million player ever again. You've set the market low on yourself. So to think that he would come out of that and suddenly make $8 million next season, probably not going to happen. He would have to have like an MVP caliber season. And even if he does, that would be hard to do. So he saw his value and he stuck to it. And I have to give him credit for it. The other thing that we should mention is Washington Capitals West, the Vancouver Canucks. We now have Gabe Eagle, Braden Holtby, and Nate Schmidt, who Vegas traded to them. I thought their offseason was pretty bad for a team that looked really good in the playoffs and thought maybe they were building something there. But Nate Schmidt, getting Nate Schmidt for a third-round draft pick, that's a good move on the ice, and that's a great move off the ice because he's got to be one of the most fun people to talk to in the NHL. So it's just sort of funny to see the reunion out west in Vancouver.
What's going to be harder for you to get used to, Braden Holtby in Vancouver or Henrik Lundqvist here in D.C.?
Ooh. That's a tough one.
To me, it's still Braden Holtby just because he was always – like, we saw him on a regular basis. I know Henrik Lundqvist was with the Rangers forever, but it's going to be even weirder for me to see Braden Holtby somewhere else.
Yeah, probably just because of the proximity and of having covered Braden Holtby every year since I've been here, since I've been covering the team. I probably will be Braden Holtby, but that is a tough one. And it's going to be super weird to see him wear another jersey. Although Vancouver is a good fit for him, that's going to be weird. But then again, you know, that's probably going to be a tandem situation. Henrik Lundqvist is coming here to be, yeah, a tandem, but the clear number two, the definite number two from year one. So that's going to be weird to see not only him in the Capitals jersey, but him with the towel sitting on the bench most nights.
It's the evolution of the goaltender position too, where you have a lot of more of these tandem type situations. Clearly it's not going to be, like you said, the same here in DC, but with Braden Holtby, that type of scenario, you see more and more of that in hockey now.
Yeah, you do. This is the way that things are going. You're not going to see the number one goalie play 65 to 70 games a year anymore for a lot of reasons. One, because the wear and tear wears them down. It's clear when you have rested goalies, let's not forget the year the Caps won the Cup, Braden Holtby stunk. So he played less than he ever played.
He walked out of town. People were like, we're done with him. Yeah. He's done.
And but all of a sudden he had all that extra juice in the playoffs, and it's amazing. All of a sudden he was so much better because he hadn't played 65 games that year. And the other reason is because you don't want to sink all that money into a goalie. Look at Sergei Bobrovsky and what he's doing in Florida. If you want a goalie to play 65 to 70 games, you have to pay a goalie to play 65 to 70 games. And if that goalie isn't great for 65 to 70 games, then you have screwed your cap situation. You've screwed your team. So I think we're going to see more and more of these tandem situations. And the Caps happen to have probably one of the best ones right now.
Yeah, and they certainly have had a good start to free agency in this offseason. There's still more to do, but the good thing is the biggest needs that they had, I feel like they've addressed. I think you and I both feel good about what they've done so far. But as the offseason continues to go on, when those moves made, we're going to have it here on the Caps Talk podcast. If you haven't subscribed yet, make sure you do. For JJ Regan, I'm Nick Ashley. We'll talk to you next week.